I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean, will be the eternal song of my life, because it has always amazed me that God saved me and that God was merciful enough to honor me with being allowed to preach his gospel. Of all the people that ever lived, I'm sure I'm the least deserving. We've been in the book of Corinthians, and we've been talking about called saints and called apostle. This morning I want to take some time and look at this one little expression, that are sanctified. To be sanctified, the word, the basic root word is hagiso. You say, well, why do you tell us that? Because that's the inspired word that was used. And when God's Holy Spirit uses a word and God breathes it, you can rest assured that whatever that word says, God means. Now, if I take this book, which has no power of its own, and I move it from this offering, say it's in this offering plate, and this book has no power of its own, and I'm the governing factor and what's going to be happened to this book. Hagiso means to set apart in another place. And I set it right over here. There is no other way under heaven that that book can get back over here unless I place it back over there. So when someone says they're saved, it's the same thing as sanctified. When someone says I'm born again, it's the same thing as sanctified. When someone says I've been converted to the Christian faith, it's supposed to mean the same thing as sanctified. Notice that I've underlined the word in. I am not sanctified in my church membership. I am not sanctified in my baptism. I am not sanctified in my works. I am sanctified only in one specific exact position and nowhere else. In Christ Jesus. You're either positionally sanctified in Christ Jesus or you are lost and going to hell. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are only there because God's Spirit put you there. And God's Spirit puts you there in answer to the call to come to this man, Jesus Christ, and put all your faith in him. Let me put it this way. When you put all your faith in Jesus, God puts you in Jesus. And God puts Jesus in you. Now I'm going to use something that's current to illustrate this positional thing about sanctification and what the word exactly means. Now I realize that this, certainly these people who are over here in this area, certainly aren't God. And there are many things in this illustration I'm going to use that will certainly, you could say, well, that's not like God, and I agree. But I want to talk about positional sanctification, positional safety, positional salvation. It has to be in Christ. Let's talk about Iraq and Kuwait, and let's talk about Iran next door. Right now, down in Kuwait, you've got a literal hell going on with all the different massive types of technological strikes that are being performed against Kuwait. And the one place I wouldn't want to be now is in Kuwait. I wouldn't want to be there flying in the air if I were an Iraqi pilot, and I wouldn't want to be there if I was an Iraqi soldier. I wouldn't want to be there as an American inside Kuwait. It's like a literal hell. Now let's talk about these Iraqi pilots up here in the northern part that have flown across into Iran. Now, I'm going to say this twice because I don't want misunderstanding. Let's assume that what the Iranians have told us is true. We're just going to assume that they can be trusted. We know God can be trusted. We're going to, just for the sake of conversation, assume that Iranians can be trusted and that what they have told us is the truth. Okay, you've heard about all these Iraqi planes up here in the northern part. I think 90 or more have flown over here into Iran. Let's assume that what many commentators guessed at is true. Let's assume that they went across here because they didn't want to get mixed up in this hell down in Kuwait, and they have flown over to a position of safety in Iran. Now let's assume that what Iran tells us is true. Iran says they've got to stay there. They don't have any choice. They can't go back. And they're going to have to stay here until the war is over. Okay. These Iraqi pilots are positionally in Iran. They're not going to have to go down here to this hell that's going on in Kuwait. They're positionally safe in Iran. That's positional safety. They can't get out of it. The Iranians won't let them out of it. They made a choice. They decided that they wanted to seek safety in Iran. They went to Iran, trusting Iran to shield them. And let's assume that Iran's going to do it and is telling the truth, which is a big assumption. Iran says that they've got to stay there, the planes have got to stay there. They cannot come out of there until the war is over. Now let's talk about this scripture in 1 Corinthians. Of the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. I was born totally depraved. I was born a child of sin. I was born spiritually dead. I was born physically alive toward the world and spiritually dead toward God. I was born physically alive toward the world, and Satan was the god of this world, and I was a child of this world. I was totally helpless. I needed a position of safety. There was a hell awaiting me, and I had no desire to go there. And so I went to this man, Jesus Christ, and I flew into his arms, and I trusted Jesus to keep me and to maintain me and to never let me go. I am sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, and positionally, I do not have to go to hell. I could not be unsaved if I wanted to be unsaved. However, how many of these Iranian pilots do you think want to go to Kuwait if what we hear is true? And so even if there was such a thing as losing my salvation, even if it were possible, brother, you better believe I sure wouldn't go back to hell by my own choice. But in any case, these Iraqi pilots, they don't have a choice. They made it right here. When they chose to go into Iran, they are in Iran. They're going to have to stay in Iran. And no matter how many times they change their mind, there is no way they're getting out. Assuming that Iran has told us the truth. But you don't have to assume about God, because God doesn't leave any assumptions. Now, I want to talk about this position of sanctification, because it's the whole basis of what we Baptists believe. It's not a Baptistic belief. It's a biblical belief. They were sanctified positionally in Christ. The phrase, to them that are sanctified, is the translation of one Greek word. I gave you the basic root word, hagios. This is exactly the whole term that's used with the ending on it, hagimenos. Grammatically, it means they had been sanctified or set apart by God from the world for himself in a decisive event in the past, and that they were remaining and would continue to remain in a sanctified position or standing. Now, I'm telling you that when God's Holy Spirit breathed that word through Paul, who wrote that, that the word that he breathed means not only would they be positioned in Christ at the moment they came to Christ, but they would continue to remain in a sanctified position or standing because Christ would never let them go. You can't change your mind after you're saved. And I've never known a saved man or woman in my entire life after they were saved that wanted to change their mind. And these people that say, I used to be saved, they never were saved. Because it's something you don't change your mind about. It's something you doubt about, you have worries about, you have concerns about. But you never change your mind about wanting to be saved. Even a person that believes you can lose your salvation, they want to be saved. And so this idea about you can lose your salvation, it just isn't true. Why? Because the Word says it isn't. Such a position was only possible because they were judiciously accepted in the beloved Christ. If my salvation had been a matter of myself actually in me doing something, then indeed I could lose it. But the man in whom I am placed can never lose his salvation or his position or his place because he is God. And because I am in him, and because he will never cast me out, never leave me nor forsake me, my salvation is secure positionally in Christ. Ephesians 1 and 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. Right now, all over this earth, there are literally millions of men and women who say, we're all working to get to the same place. That is ungodly. You do not make yourself acceptable to God. God makes you acceptable to himself. And God maintains that acceptability because you did not save yourself. You cannot maintain your salvation. You cannot prolong it because God made you acceptable in Christ, in the beloved. And that is the only position of safety that exists. If you have any feelings inside you that you must help God to be saved, or you must help God to maintain that salvation, let me tell you what the Bible says. Get rid of them. You say, well, what is that? That's all your faith in Jesus. That's the position that God wants you in. Because the moment that you understand what unmerited favor is, that's what grace means, charis. To the praise, the glory of his grace, unmerited favor, wherein God, he hath made us acceptable, accepted in the beloved. You're not accepted in your own works and your church membership or anything you can do. You have to be accepted in Jesus, and you have to put all your faith in him, and that's what positionally protects you from eternal damnation and condemnation forever. You are saved by the power of God. You are kept by the power of God. In whom? Look at that. In whom? I'm in Christ. We have, right now, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, his unmerited favor. You say, okay, Brother McElmurray, now, you're standing here right now, and I'm sitting here right now, and I have it today. But I may not have it tomorrow. All right, let's move the clock forward to tomorrow. We're all sitting here. Is this scripture going to be true tomorrow? Now, let's move the clock forward to Tuesday. Is that scripture going to be true on Tuesday? You say, but I can do that. Forget what you can do or can't do. Is that scripture going to be true on Wednesday? Is not that word of God living and going to be true eternally? In Christ, I have redemption today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and forever. Because when Jesus died on Calvary's cross almost 2,000 years ago, he looked down on the time in front of him, and all my sins were future. All my sins were future, and Jesus forgave me of all of them. And the moment I came to Christ, That blood redemption was applied to my soul, and I have eternal forgiveness of sins in the position that I am in Christ. And brother, that's unmerited favor. You say, you mean you tell me you can go right out here and commit adultery on your wife and still go to heaven? Absolutely. God forbid that I should, and God forbid that I do, but yes, I can. You say, Lordy mercy, man, nobody's that merciful. That's what grace means, unmerited favor. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, do you plan to do it? Absolutely not. Why not? Because he loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's take someone that believes they can lose their salvation. What keeps them from doing it? They don't want to go to hell. Is that as good a motivation as doing it because Christ died for you and loved you and gave himself for you and in his unmerited favor eternally positioned you in him forever? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it matters to God why you serve him. And the right reason is because he loved you and gave himself for you. And the wrong reason is to keep yourself out of hell. Just as surely as you're trying to keep yourself out of hell by doing and keeping God's commandments, just as surely as I stand here, you're going to hell because of it. The word sanctify applies to four different stages of the believer's salvation. You say, well, now I thought you said you couldn't lose it. You can't. Let's go through these four stages. It refers to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the person's life before conversion. God chose all men to be saved in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Don't you think God knew when you were going to be formed in your mother's womb? Don't you think that when Christ died on the cross, he died for all men? Don't you believe that when he died with the anticipation and the hope that all men would receive him as Savior? Do you think God just died for a few? No, he died for all men. And positionally, it was God's desire that you be placed in Christ, but he left it up to you. It was just like those Iranian pilots. They had a choice. They could have stayed where they were. They chose to go to Iran, to a position of safety. I had a choice. I could stay where I was. I could have gone to hell. But I choose to go to an eternal place of safety in Christ. And then there is the sanctification that actually occurs at the time of regeneration when you receive Christ. And then after that, you're eternally sealed and saved, positionally in Christ, can never be disturbed or taken out because you're kept by the power of God there. But God says, now look, I've set you apart in my Son. Here we were, lost and undone, spiritually dead, separated from God, ungodly, helplessly, hopelessly lost. And we saw our position of helplessness, and we realized that Christ alone was the answer. And we came and put all our faith in Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit separated us and put us in Christ. You say, okay, am I going to be there forever? Yes. Now God says, I want to set you apart from the world. You see, there's a sanctification that occurs to set you apart from the world, where God's Son's Spirit living in your spirit that he has brought back to life wants to set you apart from the world by following the teachings that his Spirit gave in his Word, so that you will gain control, more and more control. His Son will gain control. Your spirit will gain control over that flesh of yours that so dearly loves to sin because it is its basic nature. That will never change until God changes it at the resurrection. But by the grace of God, it can be controlled more and more. So there is a present cleansing and edifying ministry of the Christian by the Spirit through the Word of God, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then finally, the last sanctification, which is a setting apart of the flesh by God changing of that flesh at what we call the rapture. And the total separation from the effects of sin when the believer receives the incorruptible, immortal body. My soul has been regenerated. My soul has been saved. My soul has been sealed. My soul has been placed in Christ positionally. And Christ has been placed in me. And my soul can never be severed from the Word of God, from the power of God, from the Son of God, from the Spirit of God. But my flesh and the creature that lives there is an ungodly monster, and it needs to be set apart. Gradually and slowly, my spirit gaining control of it, to where there is a setting apart of my whole life from the ways of the world. That's where most people have their biggest problem. That's where all people have their biggest problem. Now, this has to do with the actual first part of what we call sanctification. Paul said, "But when it pleased God," in Galatians 1:15, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, his unmerited favor." From the moment that God formed Paul in his mother's womb, God intended for Paul to be saved. He intended him to be sanctified. He intended him to be positionally placed in Jesus Christ. That is true for every man sitting here, for every woman sitting here, for every child that has ever broken his mother's womb, all the billions down through the ages. God chose every single one of them. God knew when they were formed, and it was God's will and desire that every one of them accept the position of safety that he had placed in his son, Jesus Christ. And it was God's sovereign will, not sovereign will, but God's permissive will, that every man receive Christ. But he gave every man a choice. And you either choose to be positioned in Christ and to have Christ positioned in you by the power of God, or you go to hell not because you're sinful, but because you will not accept the sanctifying power of God's Spirit. You will not place your faith in the one whom he sent and the only one whom he honors as the total sacrifice for your sins, Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, before he ever made Adam, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, the action of God's Holy Spirit, and belief of the truth." The moment you realize that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the moment that you believe, "If the Son shall set you free, ye shall be free indeed," the moment that you realize that your salvation is something that God's Son bought and paid for, and that there is only one way that you can be saved, to put your faith in his works, his sacrifice, all that he's done, and the moment that you do that, God places you in Christ, and God places Christ in you. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So it was God's will from the day you were born to be saved. You say, "Well, then why did my great-great-grandfather go to hell? Why did Adolf Hitler go to hell? Why did Benito Mussolini go to hell? Why are all these millions of people all over the earth going to hell daily?" Because they choose their own way, their own technique, their own personal inward feelings on how to approach God. And they say, "After all, we're all working to get to the same place. The only one who ever did any work to get you to heaven is the man who died on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ. And you've got to put your faith in his works, or you end up in hell." People choose hell. You say, "No, I'm sure if they knew the truth, they would receive it." They hear the truth. God's Spirit wants them to receive it. He wants them to be saved, but they will not. And then there is the actual time of regeneration. Paul wrote this to a church at Corinth. He said, "And such were some of you, ungodly men and women, spiritually dead toward God, physically alive toward the world. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified, positionally, in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." That's the only justification you have, and it's an eternal justification. "For by one offering he hath perfected forever." He did it. He hath perfected his one-time sacrifice that his Father received forever. That's how long it lasts. Them that are sanctified. Them that are set apart, God sets apart. He has chosen to set apart those that come to his Son for salvation and put their trust in him and his works and his sacrifice, and he will set apart and sanctify none other. And then there is a present cleansing and edifying ministry of the Christian by the Spirit through the Word of God. He said these words to the first New Testament church. He had organized it during his earthly ministry. They were all men who were saved. They had the baptism of John. They had the actual baptism of a man sent directly from God for that purpose. Now, this baptism authority has been surrendered to the church. I thank God that church baptism has nothing to do with salvation. But I thank God it has to do with a setting apart from the world. Doesn't save your soul. Doesn't keep you saved. Only Jesus saves you, and only Jesus keeps you saved. But when you walk into those baptismal waters, and the people see you immersed, it is your testimony to the world. I'm showing you, I'm testifying to you, what I believe saved me. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. I received that. I put my faith in Jesus. I've been saved. And now I'm showing you a picture of that. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. After you're saved, sanctified by faith in Christ and Christ positioning you there, this isn't your home anymore. Like those Iraqis over in Iran, that's not their home anymore. Iran's their home. From the moment that you receive Christ, you're not of this world. Sanctify, set them apart from the world. Hagastamos, through thy truth, thy word is truth. Why do you think I stand up here? Why do you think I've stayed here for 16 years? And I've harped and harped and harped and harped about what the church is, local and visible. What baptism is supposed to be and the Lord's Supper is supposed to do. I have desperately tried with all my heart and mind and soul by the leadership of God's Spirit to teach you what the truth is. To set you apart from the world. To get you to recognize that as a saved child of God, if you want to be set apart from the ways of the world, you need to follow the teachings of Christ. It doesn't save you. I thank God for that. But it sure does set you apart from the world. You want to know how far apart we're set. You talk to people in this town about missionary Baptists that know anything about us, and they'll say, oh, that's that bunch down there believing closed communion. They don't love people. That's that bunch down there that believes other types of baptism aren't acceptable. It has to be by immersion, by the authority of the church. You don't think it's not going to set you apart from the world? I'll guarantee you one thing. It'll set you apart from the religious world. And I'm going to tell you something else. There are a whole lot of Baptist churches right now that will accept any kind of baptism going. And they practice open communion. And they flaunt it in God's face and say, we love people. No, you don't love people. And they don't love people. Because the truth of the matter is, if you don't teach people the truth of what Jesus said we were supposed to do, you don't care anything about people. And what they want to do is merge in with the world so they can get more members. More members. 16 years I've been here. You know me. You know I'm somewhat of a ham and an actor. If I had just cast aside everything except salvation and secured the believer, and it just said, rest of it doesn't matter. Let's all love everybody. Lord have mercy, we could have had half the people in this town down here. Why do you think the people don't come? It's because of what we believe about baptism and the church and the Lord's Supper. That's why. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And I want to warn you about something. If you're looking to join a church that's going to make you more acceptable in the community and give you prestige in the area, I would suggest you go down and join First Baptist. I would suggest you go down and join the Methodist Church. Don't you join this little stinking bunch down here. Because this little crazy bunch down here is so exclusive, they almost think they're a cult. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a price to be paid. You say, well, those men right there, what'd they do? They taught just exactly what we're still teaching. What happened to them? Well, John was probably killed on the Isle of Patmos. They say he was boiled in a cauldron of oil. I don't know if that's true or not. Peter was crucified upside down in Rome. That's probably true. Paul was beheaded by Nero. James was killed with a sword. They all died martyrs' death. You say, well, my goodness gracious, it seems to me that the man who loved them and formed them and organized them could at least have protected them. Every one of those men are in heaven today, martyrs' death, having a most wonderful time they've ever had in their life, with tremendous, unbelievable rewards and positions in heaven that last forever. It all depends on what you want out of life. It all depends on what you really think is important. And brother, if you're going to stand up for the truth, it's going to hurt. Listen, I'd like to slide out from under all this. I'd like to be popular. I'd like to have preachers speak well of me. I'd like to be well thought of by the other preachers in this community. But I cannot compromise God's truth. I will not. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might hagiso, sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. I guarantee you one thing, by the grace of God and by the leadership of his Holy Spirit, I do teach the truth to men and women about what the church is, baptism is, the Lord's Supper is, and what God wants. Now this sanctification is a sanctification that is the present cleansing and edifying ministry of the Christian by the Spirit through the Word of God. And here's the last phase of sanctification. My soul's been sanctified for 46 years. When Jesus came into my heart, God placed him in me and me in him. Here's the last stage, and the total separation from the effects of sin when the believer receives the incorruptible, immortal body. And here it is. 2 Corinthians 5 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15. For we that are in this tabernacle, this tent, this body of flesh, do groan. You understand that, Tud? You understand that, Sister George? The older you get, their souls have been saved and sealed for a long time. And they'll both tell you, they're sinners saved by grace. Their bodies are mourning and groaning. Mine's just starting to get that way. Not for that we would be unclothed. They don't want to lose their bodies. But they sure would like to make an exchange, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And I guarantee you absolutely, positively, unequivocally, by the Word and by the Spirit of God, that there is coming upon this earth, I believe, soon, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's the final sanctification. And then I won't have to stand up here with an overhead projector with all these human inconveniences of this body that's growing old. Nor will you. And we will be with the one who sanctified us when he saved us. We will be the one who tried to clean up our lives after we were saved. And we will be with the one who has changed us in the twinkling of an eye. And we will be with him forever. What is sanctification? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. From your womb, your mother's womb, it was the ministry of God's Holy Spirit before you were ever born, and his designated purpose, that when he separated from your mother's womb, that you would do something. It was God's will that you would call upon the name of the one of whom he was sent to testify, Jesus Christ. So that by calling upon his name and putting all your faith in Jesus to save you and keep you and deliver you from ever, he might be able to perform his wonderful positional act of sanctification, where at the time of regeneration he placed Christ in you and he placed you in Christ. You say that doesn't leave us much to do in salvation, does it? All that God wants from you is to trust Jesus. The real question you have to answer is, am I trusting myself, my church membership, my works, or am I just trusting Jesus? I'm going to ask you to believe what God said. I'm going to ask you to believe what God's Holy Spirit has been trying to get you to believe from the day you were conceived in your mother's womb. That you need to call out to someone whom you've never seen, who is the only one whom God has commissioned to have the power and authority to save your soul. I'm going to ask you to request Jesus. I'm going to ask you to ask him to save your soul so that God's Holy Spirit can positionally place you in him and him in you. As we have this silent moment of prayer, I'm going to urge you, wherever you are, sitting here on these pews this morning, I'm going to urge you to put all your faith in Jesus Christ. Take it out of whatever you had it in, whatever you've got it in. And I'm going to ask you this morning to simply trust this man, the living Son of God, as the only one who can save you, as the only one who can keep you. I'm going to ask you to pray and ask Jesus to save you from what you are and to keep you by his power. Heavenly Father, I thank you that salvation is in your Son and nowhere else. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you place us in Jesus the moment that we ask him to save us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for leaving it all in the hands of your Spirit and his testimony of the work of your Son. In Jesus' name and for his sake, I pray. Amen. As Johnny and Kay come, as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's Word. Let me this morning simply say this. Where are you, positionally? If you went to Jesus Christ this morning and put your trust in him and asked for salvation, there's no power or force that could have stopped you from being placed in Christ or God's Holy Spirit placing you in Christ. You've been sanctified by the power of God. Now let me ask you this. Are you letting God's Holy Spirit have his way in setting apart your life from the world? Or do you find it comfortable in the position that you're in, and maybe you're not willing to pay the price that goes with following the teachings of the Lord? I'm going to ask you this morning, why not just say, Lord, I see the truth. And why not this morning follow the teachings of Christ? You know the need in your heart and life. Let God meet that need as we have this invitation. Thank you all for coming this morning. We're glad to have the family visiting with us.